final step of this morning. Thank you very much. It's really amazing what you have worked out in such a short amount of time. And so we can continue to having lecture to every nine short comments for days and weeks, but not we are going that way. We invited our keynote speaker to respond to what you have brought on the table from the work of his session. And I would like to ask first Cormac from, if he is in the mood to start. Okay, Cormac?
Sure, thank you.
I would like to ask you, Cormac, for a feedback to the outcome of the World Coffee, and what have you in mind and what can you add?
Thank sure, you. Thanks, Klaus. I suppose one of the things that struck me listening is just the consistency of tone and message throughout the morning. There seems to be a real sense that we're in agreement, or there's a consensus seems to be emerging. So what I try to do is to put language around the consensus that I think I'm hearing beginning to emerge, because I assume there's more conversations to be had. There always is. So I think one of the things that I'm hearing, and of course observer bias comes in here, you know, people hear what they want to hear, but certainly what I'm hearing is that place-based local work matters, that it's got some kind of a quality, that people are using words like genuine, real, practical, action-oriented. And I would agree with that, because I think that actually we live our lives, the stage on which all of this plays out is place. So I was really pleased, because one of the concerns that I have is I think I'm seeing across Europe a trend that's moving away from place-based working. So if I'm correct in that, well done you. This second piece I think is just so important. It's what I think people are really using is language that often doesn't get used in institutional or professional circles. So we're hearing, and I think some of that has to do with the conveners and the story of ETC. But you're using language like friendship, humanity, real connections. And I actually think that's hugely important, because you're talking in a value-based way about the work that we do and I suppose the contribution that we make. So this idea that relationships are more important than privileged position or programmatic ambition is so critical, both, I think, to our well-being as practitioners and the well-being of those we serve. I think the third thing that I've heard a lot today, and again, it pleases me, is the value of creating an approach that is citizen-led as opposed to client or patient-led, really recognizing the difference between a client and a citizen, and recognizing that in many respects, the litmus test of our work is that when we walk away, there's something there that people own, that they feel they have created themselves with our support, that it's not done on to people, but in many respects our job is a facilitative one, a community building role. So that piece around it being citizen-led as opposed to professionally led. One of the great concerns I have about co-production is that primarily what I'm seeing is it's being led by professionals, and it's nearly exclusively about professionals working with individuals. And it's actually a challenge, I think, to public health that I would like to put out. Can we please have a conversation about what you're going to do on Monday morning with an entire community? We heard that today. Paula's story is such a powerful challenge and such a wonderful heartwarming story as well, but it's a powerful challenge about what happens when we just get siloed with either bits of sickness in people or just people. I see a lot of strength-based approaches being used with individual people, and it's nice and it's lovely, but it will not transform society. What transforms society is much more, it's much broader, and it goes back to the synergies that we talked about earlier. So that's why I think asset-based working is so critical, because it focuses on those connections. The only reason that assets or strengths have any relevance in my way of thinking theoretically is because they create a conversation platform for connections. Aside from that, it's just a tag. It's a word. It's a language base. But its meaning is in the connections and in the relationships. That's why I think we don't get those connections when we start with deficits. And I think all of this only has sense if it's based on social justice. There's a real risk that Salutogenesis and ABCD and the likes of it will be hijacked by right-wing agendas. As we see austerity, so-called austerity, and I don't actually believe it at all. I think it's a construct. But as we see austerity bite, I believe the big challenge for us will not be to promote asset-based community development, but to stop right-wing agendas hijacking the language to excuse light touch, irresponsible behavior, and essentially a compromise of social justice. So I think we have to keep social justice and inclusion at the heart of everything we say. One last comment. There's a lot of theory behind ABCD, a lot. And I just want to, I didn't go into it today because I had 45 minutes, but I would encourage you, if you've heard something that's been useful, to do the research on this. Read Illich, Medical Nemesis. And if you, really want to think about the analysis, particularly the power analysis and questions of social justice, because his critique, I think, is as profound today, and maybe more so than it was in the 70s, when he first challenged us to realize that often systems need people's needs more than people need the systems. So we really need to be clear there is a theory behind this. And also maybe it's time to go back to reading E.F. Schumacher and Small is Beautiful, because I think our systems have become monolithic and they seem more obsessed with sustaining their own future than they are with building friendships and relationships. So it's been really heartwarming to hear your comments today. But remember, this is a social movement, not the building of an institution. You're strong because you are a social movement. So keep those values at your base. They're what make you useful.
Thank you very much, Cormac, for this comments, and that you are going to putting fingers on the critical parts of this. I remember one tweet of you when you were saying ABCD, asset-based community development, is not saving money of the system, it's about saving people for the system. And I agreed entirely. I think we have to also focusing to this, that who is dominating the public opinion. And I read a quite interesting book by the Nobel Prize winner Stiglitz about the price of inequality, and he was exactly focusing on this view that the neoliberals, the right wings, are dominating the public opinion, and people don't consider what's going on when they are repeating these ideas, so that everyone is responsible by its own, and so on and so on. So I think it's quite good. We had just last night an interesting discussion about what is the difference between connecting peoples and networking. Is there a difference, or is it the same, or
Nokia.
Maybe? Huh? Banked.
Nokia.
Nokia. Please. I would like to ask you, Banked, to give your feedback and remarks. We can have a second turn, I guess.
Okay. I try to be short. And first of all, what are we up against? I tell you a story from my professional life. A person in Finland who is a famous culture person suffered from two cancers. And he was invited as a culture person to tell his story to the Doctors Association in Finland. It's the oldest scientific body in Finland. And the doctors in this association are the ones that teach the next generation of doctors. This guy came, he's quite narcissistic, he told his story, which was quite good, because he was actually, for once, feeling inside himself what that, and striving for it. But the reactions from the Doctors Association, they started by saying, well, Jørn Donner, you're a famous person. We know you understand what we are saying. You're a culture person, and you understand what we doctors say. But what shall we do with the rest of the idiots? What shall we do with the rest of the idiots? And this was repeated by not one, two, three, four, six, 10, 11 at least of these medical educational doctors who actually are in charge of the next generation. I just thought this can't be true. But this is what we are up against. This is what the system is doing. And Finland may be a very conservative country, but the power game is in there, and they are not inclined to give power. So that we have to understand. Now, a more practical answer to what you said. I go back to the theory of salutogenesis and to the key concept, the ability to use your resources, that is the sense of coherence. And you can actually construct a dialogue based on the components of sense of coherence. We call it the salutogenic dialogue. And the three components are there to understand the meaningfulness and the ability to use it. And let me just put it like this. You have a doctor here, you have a person here who is meeting the doctor. The doctor, if the person says fish, the doctor has to, when the doctor asks you what is health, the person answers fish. The doctor has to understand why this person is saying fish. That's the sort of, you have to have the dialogue on the level of the person. Second, meaningfulness. You have to work on the arena of the people, that is focusing on their life and their life experience, their quality of life, and that gives meaning, creates meaning. Then you can run the dialogue using that too. And the third part, manageability, you always have to push or lead a question. How can you solve this question? Can you do it? We have constructed this model, and it is also presented on a collective level in the book I'm going to give to the working groups. There's a model of how to do this. So please have a look at that, because the ETC is built around this concept, that this understanding of the concept. Then one third thing, which I think is important, it's all fundamentally based on human rights, and I am being a person working with families and children. I say there's a modern version of the Declaration of Human Rights. That's the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. And the key there is the child has to be an active participating subject. Active participating subject. You can build your sense of coherence as an individual by stepping on other people. So sense of coherence is not the answer. Sense of coherence without human rights is nothing. It's completely nothing. Health promotion does have, because health promotion is based on WHO, which is based on the United Nations, which actually is there to protect human rights as a key concept. And that means that the Ottawa Charter is actually based on human rights. People have to be active participating subjects. Going back to the genetic code, you are there. So I think this is one thing you have to understand. And again, how does this ability work? I go back to childhood. How does a child who is being recognized by a parent get the feeling, I'm important, I'm part of life? And by getting this feeling, inside feeling, that's the first part of it. The sense of coherence is also building the structure between the individual and the parent. So it actually builds self-confidence, I am something, and it also builds the network. That is what sense of coherence does, these two things.
Thank you, Bang, for putting it in this whole frame of salutogenic. That reminds me that Aaron Antonovsky, he always pointed out that this having a high score in sense of coherence questionnaire doesn't mean anything, that you are a good person, that you are focusing and led by human rights. It can be a Nazi officer like this awful army men in the movie, and so on. And we should keep that in mind. When I realized that very often people just say salute genesis means something good, that it's not the right context to contextualize this. Yes, I'm really pleased that we have this morning more or less a discourse which is very much down to earth and not like this, what we know sometimes from conferences, this kind of academia discourses about theories and so on. And however, I would like to ask Moruba to give from their perspective as a member of an European institution and from the government's level of a nation, what would you give for sort of feedback to the group and to the outcome?
Thank you. Coming to the idea of building bridges, which is the theme of our symposium, I would like to say that it is extremely important to create connections, to put together the different public health stakeholders, and to let them share their experiences and their views. Achieving better health for all requires us, the Council of Europe, to work innovatively through partnership with its member states, with different organizations and institutions. So I would like to stress once again the importance of partnership and networking. I very much like the opinion that networking is a friendship. The importance of sharing experiences and of learning from the best practices from others. It's also important to learn from so-called bad practices. It is not to blame and to criticize, but it is to improve and to avoid it in the future. Taking this opportunity, I would like to thank the organizers of the symposium for their effort and their initiative. Thank you very much for inviting me, for inviting the Council of Europe. It was a great pleasure to participate here, to be here with you, to listen to the other speakers, and of course to enjoy your wonderful city. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Moruba, for your feedback and comments and focusing again on the partnership as, let's say, as a term should be understood partnership in the context of gaining mutual benefit from working together and so on, and not just for some defined purposes outside of partnership activities. So we are almost close to the end. I have to say thank you again for everyone who contributed to this morning. However, are you still in the mood, each of you, to give, let's say, maximum 2 sentences? What would you post on the wall for the course who is going starting today for the next 2 weeks to the course participants? Please, okay. Komak.
Okay. 2 sentences. It takes a village to raise a child, but it also to take the view, it also takes a child to raise a village. 1 sentence, kind of. And we don't need more hospital beds, we need more hospitable communities.
Thank you. Bengt?
Active participating subject.
Thank you. I can echo in from a phrase from a song I use sometimes in my presentation. Inactivity is a weapon of mass destruction. It's a song from the group Faceless. And some of the former participants were so excited about this phrase, and she used it even for her dissertation. Moruba, what's your advice for the next 2 weeks?
Well, I will be very short, and I would like to say something which is very close to the scope of our project and which might be interesting and useful for the audience, especially for the medical students, which is health literacy, improving and increasing of health literacy.
Okay, thank you very much. So Healthy City program, Lenneke mentioned already, this is a long-lasting program, sometimes a little bit underestimated, sometimes it's struggling, but the idea behind, I always have in mind, actually the Healthy City program was the action program to put the Ottawa Charter in practice, and that we should keep in mind. And whatever is going on, and it's spreading around the world, it's a movement, and at the moment, the Healthy City idea is really flourishing in the West Pacific region, and for the big cities. Yeah.
Could I just make an invitation?
Yeah, please.
When we originally started chatting about my coming here, certainly the hat I'm wearing is as director of ABCD of Asset-Based Community Development in Europe. And I'd like to extend an invitation for you to join a very informal network called ABCD Europe, which is in fact an online network at the moment.
Yeah.
But there are quite a lot of practitioners that are beginning to form all kinds of interesting partnerships. And you can do that simply by going to abcdeurope.ning.com.
Yeah.
And you'd be very welcome.
Thank you.
In the future, we will also have the EFGH network.
So
and in fact, it does exist.
We are working on it.
If you go on our website, the Salutogenesis website, you will actually see the whole evidence based for Salutogenesis. You will also see what we have been doing over the last 5 years. We've been working with the Global Working Group on Salutogenesis for IUHP, which I am in charge of right now.
Yeah.
And we are also publishing a new book in 2015, which will be a research book on this thing. What we call a handbook. Now we have the guide, then it will be the handbook. And I invite you to the conference next year in Trondheim, which is called Next Health.
Thank you very much. So we have a lot of offers for the future. Things continue and going on. And I like to say, to close this session this morning, thank you very much for coming. Thank you very much for your contribution and so on. But Aunt is already starting to applauding or something like that. There is one final thing I have to address because it's relevant for all course participants. Please, when we close this session, definitely gathering in the front of the entrance of the building, because there is a bus waiting for the transfer to the building we will be this afternoon with the course and starting the course for the next 2 weeks. So, and we hope that every one of you has a bus ticket from the map. You need it. Yeah. Nora would be there. She is already behind and will collect you and will count the number of hats that we are complete. And then we will continue in the afternoon at 3:30 in that place. Thank you very much, everybody, and have a great day today. Thank you.